It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Good afternoon, PGA DFS fans. It is that time of the week again where it's the PGA DFS Strategy Show. I'm the host, and along with my co-host, Ben Raza, we've been doing this for a little bit now. It's a really fun Tuesday afternoon, and while people may not be terribly excited about the John Deere Classic, Ben, there's still plenty of money to be won, and we're going to help people do that here on the show this week. And of course, there's another little golf tournament going on today. I don't know if we can call it a tournament. It's the Match Series, as Phil Mickelson and company will play tonight. And the sponsor of our show, Monkey Knife Fight, has given us some fun little props for it that we'll chat about. But I first want to tell you guys about Monkey Knife Fight. They are player props-based contests where you get to go. You get to pick from a range of sports, pretty much all of them, whether it be soccer, golf, NFL coming up, or more. And the contests are very easy to understand. You don't need the time commitment that other sites do. You don't need to worry about ownership or anything like that. And of course, on your first deposit on Monkey Knife Fight, use promo code AWESOMO. You're going to get $100 on your first deposit match. So, Ben, a little bit of ways to spend that money. I know that you've covered the match a little bit. And the Monkey Knife Fight props we have out are based on fantasy points. And for me, I think that Bryson DeChambeau is a total head case right now. And so I think Phil Mickelson's going to come out and wipe him clean. Now, maybe for show, they'll try and keep it close. But I got Phil Mickelson definitely outscoring Bryson DeChambeau. And the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, do you have a lean there? I know we're talking about football players playing golf, so it's a little tough.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. Certainly, yeah, Team Bryson's got a lot more drama surrounding them. That's for sure. No doubt about that. It's going to be interesting. I think, you know, Brady having done this is an advantage, particularly with the quarterback side of things. I don't know what we're going to get at Bryson. It seems like more and more people that I've seen are leaning to the Phil side. I was leaning towards the Bryson side. They are the favorites. Maybe I took a bad number there, but I can't wait to see it. I think the course looks pretty cool. I think Rodgers is going to be better than people think, though. He's a pretty good golfer. We've seen him, I think, at Pebble before. I think he's going to get it done over Brady today. That's where I think the advantage may lie.
All right, so I agree, and here's what I did on Monkey Knife Fight. I went Mickelson over DeChambeau, fantasy points, and Rodgers over Brady, fantasy points. Those two are going to get me a 3-1 payout if they both hit. So there is your Monkey Knife Fight prop of the week. And now we transition into the PGA Tour event that's going to be starting on Thursday. I guess this is the match is sponsored by the PGA Tour. So, but in any case, the John Deere Classic will be going on. It's going to be played at TPC Deer Run. And Ben, we've been here for years and years and years, so we know exactly what this course is. But let me ask you, why did Dylan Fratelli win this golf tournament by losing strokes on the approach? Did he just have a once-in-a-lifetime short game performance? Or do you think that's a trend that may continue here this year?
Yeah, I think there's something to that with these, you know, birdie fests. You got to make your, because unless you really don't have it, and then you're not going to be in contention anyway, what normally happens is you have a bunch of birdie putts that are either, you know, closer to the hole if you're dialed in, or less makeable if you're not. But if you make them regardless, that's what you need to do. You need to go low. Fratelli did that 2 years ago, gained 7 strokes putting, more with the short game as well. That'll get it done. I think here, clearly the putter is going to be the wild card. You need to convert, because no matter how well you're striking it, you have to go low basically all 4 days.
Sure do. Definitely. If you want to bring one club this week, it is your putter. That's kind of where I was going with that, Dylan Fratelli talk. You led me into that perfectly. And Scott Stewart says hi to both of us. And Ben, I gotta make note about Scott here. He messaged me earlier. He lives in my area and we're getting Elsa and wished me well. And I wish him back well. Just yes, bring that up. And nice to hear. Nice to see. Hopefully we'll be okay. A lot of rain coming our way. Hopefully no flooding, but other than that, we should be okay. A little more about TPC Deer Run. It is the Zach Johnson Classic in addition to the John Deere Classic. Now, Ben, second, kind of a similar question. Do you think it's the Zach Johnson Classic because the best club in his bag is the putter? Or is it something else about the golf course and maybe, say, the surrounding area?
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think it's really just the combination that you're very forgiving off the tee. You can, you know, dial it in with the approaches. You don't have to be mega precise. And then if you can read these greens, you can convert a lot of putts. And certainly distance is not a prerequisite here. A lot of the things that Zach Johnson does is more on the consistency side. He is who he is. And at a place like this, it's very repeatable. And that can translate into a lot of birdies.
Yeah, it sure can. So let's move on and talk about a couple of the other things about the John Deere Classic here. But before we do, of course, I want to tell you guys about the free premium tools and data that we have today. And it is the NBA Showdown single game projections. We got game one, the NBA Finals going off. And now I think it's a perfect time to also let you guys know about the giveaway we have going on for tonight's game. All you got to do is head over to the @AwesomeOnNBA Twitter handle, and we're going to be giving away 1 year of Osmo Plus Platinum tonight. It's $1,000 value. All you got to do is tell me, will Chris Paul or Devin Booker have the most points in tonight's game one of the NBA Finals? That's all you got to do. Now, head on over to @AwesomeOnNBA for a chance to win that. So, Ben, John Deere Classic, we know there's not a lot of good golfers here. No. But we do have a couple tractor drivers, if you will, that we're going to want to roster first in our lineup. And I may bounce a bit, but the first name that stuck out to me was Russell Henley. At $9,900, the guy has been on the verge, what seems like all year, definitely the last month. And now I know the results say at the PGA Championship, you know, didn't yield the top 10. Same thing with the next week there at the Travelers, I think it was. Not a top 10, but was on the first page of the leaderboard, if not in first place for a good amount of that tournament. This week, I think it's his week to get it done.
Makes a lot of sense. Liked him at the U.S. Open, fell back. It almost felt like an underachievement, but when you take the big picture, you look at these results, you probably would have taken them before the tournament. Irons have been good. The puttering has been good. The price is reasonable. The only knock, and it's early, and certainly we're going to have you covered with premium ownership. I think that Russell Henley is going to be amongst the highest owned players because he can be your aggressive second man in. He could also be your first man in. And when you have that double builds, it masses ownership very quickly.
It does. Now, at what level do you think you're going to really care about ownership? So, especially in a week like this.
Yeah, that's a really good question, because just because a guy's popular doesn't mean you automatically not. Now, if Russell Henley gets into the 25% owned range, it's not to say that I'm not going to have exposure, because I'm not going to change who I like based on who other people like. It's just going to determine, you know, maybe where I try to get leverage and how much of a guy I might need to make sure I get what I want in terms of that leverage. So I think that's really the threshold for me. If he's 18%, 16%, I'll probably get, you know, just slightly over. And I think that Russell Henley makes a lot of sense. But if he creeps up to where Berger is, that could be problematic.
Let's talk about that. That's a great lead in. I want to talk about, obviously, the highest priced golfer, the lowest priced, the lowest rated golfer in terms of official World Golf Ranking. It is Daniel Berger. But for me, coming in 33rd last year, Ben, 11,100, you know, this seems like I'm not going to play him that much. And he's going to win because I played all of Bryson last week and he missed the cut. And it's just going to go opposite for me. But really, should we be paying 11-1 for Daniel Berger at the John Deere Classic?
Yeah, I mean, paying 11-1 is a little gross. But then you got to take it as partly just the product of this field. Like, he's not overpriced. He's just who we have to choose from at the top. The irons have been solid. Putter's been solid. Really, the game has. He hasn't had a ton of top end equity. When I look at this field, I do like him more than Sungjae and Harmon. I think Cam Davis is interesting off the win. I'm going to have no problem getting to Berger. It's more how do I structure around that? Because I don't mind paying 11-1, but at the same time, you don't want to just click him in for the sake of it. You want to make sure that you're capitalizing on all, you know, every dollar of your salary.
Yeah, that's for sure. A couple of other guys that played well last week. And Tokyo, I know you're asking about the course layout. If you could message us or message me again and let me know what you're specifically looking for. I don't recognize the course layout chat. But you also, Tokyo, bring up Alex Noren and Ben. He's kind of haunting our dreams or nightmares a little bit. We're just not sure when to play him, or at least me. And I think we talked about it last week. We're both not sure when to use him. And there he is, showing up. Best performance of the year, tied for fourth last week. Will it continue here this week?
Tricky one. Yeah, gain strokes across the board, all four categories. I like it. He can putt. I like the price. I'm probably going to hang in, particularly because I think that Henley and Streelman are going to get most of the buzz. Sheamus is going to get a lot of buzz, which is unfortunate, yes. but it is warranted. To me, Noren and Wise, and even kind of Siwoo, who, you know, when you really think about Siwoo's got a resume that stacks up probably better than almost anyone in this field. I know he's not playing great per se, but I think those three in the lower nines are really reasonable options when you consider the ownership.
Yeah, agreed. With Siwoo, obviously he's not in great form. We know he's skipping next week to focus on Tokyo. It will be his only time to try and get a medal before he has to go to military service. Believe it or not, Sungjae Im has two. He's only 23 years old, and you have until 28. So Sungjae will get this year, and then he'll get 3 years from now, I think it is. The Olympics will be in 2024. Again, so Sungjae will get another shot. For Siwoo, I can't imagine that he wants to go to next week, say even off of a missed cut. He's going to want to try and get some form because it's not just going to come overnight. Although we have seen it kind of come overnight for Siwoo Kim. I can't imagine mentally he's going to want to go there off a missed cut.
No, definitely not. And Siwoo, you mentioned it. He can turn on the light switch. I just thought it was crazy looking at the outright markets. And listen, I want to be clear. I really like Sheamus this week. But like Siwoo, who has won several tournaments, is around 35-1. And a guy like Sheamus is around 33-1. To me, someone like Siwoo, winning in terms of win equity is more like Kevin Na, where those guys, they don't play consistent golf, but they close the door when they get their chance a lot more than guys like Noren and Sheamus and even Wise.
Yeah, I'm smiling because the next guy I'm going to bring up with you is Cameron Davis. And Mike Campbell this just guy. Points out in chat, it's unbelievable. He goes from moving the cut line, as brought up by Mike in the chat, with a double on the last hole, and he didn't even make the cut and move the cut line and brought a bunch of chalk in, to winning the golf tournament. That is Cam Davis. We knew he had the potential, Ben.
We did.
Now, does that potential stay because we won? Or is it a little bit of a career-defining win and maybe we look forward to next week? Did he get into next week? I haven't looked at the official list. I feel like he did, but I could be wrong there.
I don't know. I would.
Do you remember when Michael Kim won? He got in, but he won this tournament. So maybe that's why.
So the winner of this definitely gets in. I think that's, but I don't know about last week. I would assume that you're in. Normally, I think the safe move with guys who have a breakthrough win is to wait and see because their life changes dramatically. There's an exhale. You've got status. You've got new events. I do think that coming to a similar profile helps. Like, his mindset isn't going to change. It's just attack, 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 just like he did last week. He's that type of player. So I don't mind it. I certainly am more drawn to a guy like Wise and Noren taking the savings. But Cam Davis is a player, and it was bittersweet. I didn't have an outright ticket on him. It's a guy that we were both pretty early to. I played Cam Davis a lot when he was struggling and during his ascension. It was good to see him cash in. I certainly wanted Neiman and Troy Merritt, though.
I know the Troy Merritt one was tough to swallow. Cam Davis was a good runner-up guy for me, I guess, but more of my money was on Merritt. I know that most of it for you was on Neiman. That was the big play for you. I was reeling. I also had him in my best lineup. That did, of course, have Bryson DeChambeau, but it ended up making some money because it had all those other guys that we just talked about, but didn't win anything big because it had Bryson. Now, Cam Davis is not in the field for next week, and that's based off the newest update. I could be wrong. Chat, please let me know if I am. But if he's not, does that change your attitude a little bit?
Yeah, I think that helps.
Yeah, I do too.
I'd rather my guy not worry about – there's a real chance, and I don't know this, but there's a real chance like Cam Davis has never played over there and stuff, and you're scrambling, you're thinking about other things. Anthony in chat just said he's not in yet. He is first alternate. Okay.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Then he probably does get in, actually.
Probably ultimately will get in. But like I said, I don't think you need to get crazy. It's just a different, you know, there's a jump off point with guys that normally win. Yep. I'm not super there yet. I will have some Cam Davis in the pool this week.
So I mentioned Russell Henley. I feel like he's close to getting it done. Could win this week. Kevin Streelman is kind of another one in that boat. And then the other guy we haven't talked about, highest priced we've ever seen him, definitely. But maybe he is close to winning. It's Brian Harman, Ben. He's another Zach Johnson-esque guy that doesn't miss a fairway. If he gets hot with his irons, we know he's a good putter. So would you rather just play 8,500 Zach Johnson? Or do you think that there is actually a lot more win equity with 10,400 Brian Harman?
I mean, I guess there's a little more, but not $2,000 worth, in my opinion. Former winner of John Deere, Brian Harman. Everything makes sense. I can't knock it. Consistent golf. I think I can get away with it, though. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that Brian Harman comes in like...
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. 18th again. And when you're paying this, I think I can allocate that money elsewhere. So with the ownership, with everything... It's not to knock the play, but I'm prioritizing other golfers up top.
Now, maybe one of those other golfers is a guy that I said I had a problem with. I had a Sung J.M. problem. And since that tweet, he went out and played about 15 under par and finished the tournament inside of the top 10. He was a sure thing to miss it when I sent that tweet. So Sung J., you can thank me. Now, does that form continue? Do we get the run of Sung J.M. where we go eighth last week, second this week, first at the Olympics, no military service, or am I getting a little too far ahead of myself?
I'm sure Sung J. would like that. Yeah, I mean, he looked good. And listen, he's a really good player. We've known that. We've been disappointed with the form. It's tough. I'll be honest. He's someone I really haven't had a good grasp on. I think he's much better at more technical layouts than pure birdie fest, but he has a well-rounded game, so I get it, and he's just a good golfer. I'm going to say he's a better play than Harman, but still worse than Berger or the balance build with Henley. So I don't mind Sung J., but again, can't play them all. He's not a priority.
Yeah, 10,700. I'm not going to say he's a priority because I feel like you can get as much win equity in this field by starting with Russell Henley or even Kevin Streelman. Or even Alex Noren for that matter. And then, of course, you briefly mentioned the guy that's going to make 75 birdies this week, and that's Aaron Wise. Correct. Although the other hole, or, you know, he only has three more to go, right? No, I'm on the other side. But still, he makes a ton of birdies. This seems like it should be a good play for him if he's playing well. Can he avoid the bogeys and pay off the salary this week?
I mean, I think it's there for him. He was fantastic scoring at Travelers, and he came in 66 because he lost five strokes putting. He's gained tee to green in five straight. He was ninth at Wells Fargo, 17th at the PGA Championship, ninth at Memorial. These are showings against the world's best players, not whatever this is. So Aaron Wise can do it. It's just about sustaining it. I have no problem going back to him. You just need the putter to cooperate.
Now, there's not going to be many golfers, maybe only this one I'm about to talk about, that's going to be under 10% owned up here, and that's Kevin Na. Maybe rightfully so, 9.5. He hasn't done anything in a couple of months, but he's a guy kind of similar like Siwoo Kim that can show up out of nowhere, gain 90 strokes on and around the green, and win the golf tournament.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's those opportunities there this week. I think it's like most, you know, and I kind of wanted to ask you this at the top of the show, not to circle back a little, but like when you have tournaments this week, you kind of have to work backwards even more so for me. It's like, okay, how am I going to organize these teams where not all my win equity is going to be with my first two guys? Can I get some guys that can really go low? And can I get the Aaron Wises of the Travelers where they may come in 48th, but you could have the 12th most DraftKings points. And that is absolute gold. And as you mentioned, some of these players, you know, the way they can get it done around the green and whatnot, it could come into play in a big way.
It sure can. And as we saw with last week, with so much of the chalk missing, DeChambeau, Simpson, and more, sometimes all it takes is getting that six. And Decky didn't even miss the cut. Decky led the field in ball striking. Then all of a sudden, oh, here's another COVID problem. 1-2 for me were off the board before Saturday morning even started. Just the way it happens sometimes. But regardless, we don't have to worry about that this week. Or, well, at least we should say we hope not, right? Couple of other guys up here in this top range that I want to chat about. Let's first talk about Seamus Power. You said probably one of the funniest tweets of the day that I got to read. Maybe the last time that you get to play a 9K Seamus Power, but you're here to do it. And I think I am as well. Let's tell the people why it makes sense.
Guys taking, I don't know exactly, you know, status on the PGA Tour is tricky. There's a lot of categories and whatnot.
I think he's really dang close.
He has struggled at times to get starts, and then he got on a string, came in 9th at Byron Nelson, got another start, 19th at Palmetto, 19th at Travelers, and now 8th at Rocket Mortgage. The guy has been striking it. He's gained on the approach in all of those events. He's been positive tee to green in all of those events. What's there to say? These starts are absolutely crucial to a guy like this, and I love that. You don't have to worry about the focus for him. He will be ready to play, and he's playing great golf right now.
Not only is he getting these starts, but he's basically doing it himself. Monday qualifies, top tens, gets another event. I mean, he's doing it with no status. It's almost like he's, you know, one of these young kids again, trying to get a special temporary membership. And it's pretty darn close to it. Definitely don't want to fade him. 9K seems pretty reasonable. But as we move on to some of our, call them hedger values, if you will, sticking with our John Deere classic theme a little bit, Patton Kizzire leads off this right below Seamus Power. And as a guy that I think, Ben, we've got a really good profile on. He is good in easy events that are easy to hit the fairway, and you can really light it up with the approach and the putter. So given that, and given his year this year, he's a little more volatile than we'd like for 8,900, but can you stomach playing him this week? Or would you rather go to McNealy that's right below him?
So that's the thing. I definitely see it. He's got to be a little better. I mean, off the tee, you can't be losing 4 strokes off the tee like he did at Rocket Mortgage. That's just ridiculous. I get that. On the flip side, I don't know what's going on. Maverick is now the best driver on tour. He's gained almost 5 strokes off the tee in 2 straight events. That makes no sense.
What's happening here?
If he compare that with his putting, I mean, forget it. Maverick's going to be firmly in play. Yep. I like Maverick. I don't know what to make of it. And then I can't believe we have to discuss this, but we definitely do. Do you hang on with Troy Merritt?
His putting run is otherworldly.
Insane.
And I think, though, when that starts to happen, you get the confidence around the bag. And while he didn't pull off the win, you know, I think Cam Davis just got probably a little bit more talent there. You can see the form coming into Merritt. Now, when the putting breaks, Ben, do you think he's playing well enough in his other areas to pay off an $8,700 salary if the putting breaks this week? It's a big if, obviously.
Big if. Probably not. I do think there is an element of what you said. The pressure is off because, you know, if you just give yourself a chance, you're going to make them more often than not. I think I lean to Lucas Glover, who needs to shore up his ball striking. But long term, he's certainly a good player in this field. Zach Johnson, same thing. And then another tricky one, Hank Lebioda, who's been a very cheap play, but he's playing fantastic as well.
Can he win this event?
I mean,
do you think looking at the stats that we've seen, he could win this event?
He's playing amazing. His putting is Merritt-esque right now.
Yep.
So I get it. I don't love the price boost, but you're going to get that when you're playing well and you go to a class drop type field.
Let me ask you a strategy standpoint. Do you think that if Merritt plays well, Lebioda is going to play well, or do you think there's too much variability to say something like that?
Probably the latter. I get what, you know, that logic. I think it's more that it's more of a bucket. Okay, these guys are playing well. If they continue to putt like this, they're going to play well because the rest of their game is built upon just hanging in and making those putts, and they've shown they're doing that. Will it continue forever? No. But can it continue for another week? It certainly can. And that's why they are playable. You just got to weigh that ownership.
So Hank, Troy, McNealy, Patton Kizzire, You had to pick one of them to pair up with Russell Henley. Who would it be? And if you could get two of them in your lineup, who would it be?
I think it would be Maverick first, just because I think his game's a little more not as reliant on the putter right now. Honestly, I think Henk Labbiota is just playing fantastic. I really trust this guy's game right now. And if he pairs up the approach game long-term with the putting short-term, he's going to stay at 8,400.
Yeah, sure is. And he's one of the only golfers, if you guys want to check out my data article called Expert Picks for this week. Labbiota is the only one that is in the top 10 in both strokes gained on the approach and strokes gained putting over the last 8 weeks. That's hard to ignore. He's pretty consistent off the tee. So I agree. If I had to pick two, Henk Labbiota, and I think I'm leaning Patton because I are over McNealy right now. They're flip-flops. I'm pretty close with Merritt being the last of them. We got a great buy with Merritt at 7,000 last week. I think maybe there's a little bit of a cooling off period. But again, he's playing well enough. It's just that if he only gains – last week he gained almost 8 strokes putting. If he only gains 4 this week, you know, that's going to take him well out of the top 10. So I think it's an easy play. Now we get to two guys that are very good course history, very good course fit if you look at their game. Both of them playing okay right now, but we are going to get lower ownerships. Zach Johnson in the enigma known as Ryan Moore. Do you have a preference of one of those two? And are you actually going to play one of those two?
Not Ryan Moore, I've tried. It's just not happening. If he beats me, he beats me. Okay. Zach Johnson, I think, is fine. I have no problem going there. I think this is where you start to, you know, Doc Redman and Munoz and those guys are, this is opens it up a little more, but I was staring Ryan Moore directly at those numbers, and I just couldn't justify it. If he beats me, I just have to live with it.
Yeah, I understand. And I totally get that. For me, I'm also looking at Zach Johnson. I do like that. Now, another one of our tools that we kind of highlighted there last week, the top golfers tool. The reason why I bring up Ryan Moore is he kind of pops on these a little bit, and it's probably because of his past.
Yeah.
But in this range, he is rated as one of the best leverage spots, given that he's going to be pretty low owned and that he's got some upside there. So that's what kind of intrigued me there. I love looking through our tools and finding things out like this, confirming some biases that I may have or making me think another way. And Ryan Moore was just one of those guys that kind of popped up, had some pretty good leverage based on his ownership. But Zach Johnson, if I only picked one, it would be Zach. It looks like they're going to have similar type ownership. So, all right, a couple more guys that I want to talk about. Doug Gimp had one of the most craziest statistical weeks I thought I had ever seen by not registering a stat around the green until his 21st hole, where he holed out a bunker shot for his first statistical note around the green. But then it happened with Russell Knox the next day. So was that a Detroit Golf Club thing where they laid up on all the par fives and they're just longer and they hit a ton of greens? Or do you think that these guys' irons games are just so on point right now that, you know, maybe we got to play him? Doug Gim specifically, I don't think Knox is in the field this week.
No. Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to these type of events that you don't really have to put the pressure on around the green because you can hit these greens pretty easily, even if you're spraying off the tee to an extent. We saw that with Doug Gim. The game needs to be a little cleaner. I mean, he made his fair share when he did have to scramble and whatnot. The irons were good, but they weren't precise. He didn't have a ton of chances. I think he can clean that up. He's still a pretty electric scorer. He needs to be better off the tee, though. That's the one strong suit. Him and Doc Redman are very difficult for me because they show flashes, but usually it's not 72 holes worth.
It's not 72 holes worth, and it's never back-to-back weeks, I feel. Like, Doc Redman seemed like he set up great last week, had an okay week at Travelers, not great. And I kind of brought up, like, hey, Ben, maybe this guy isn't as close as his stats show or the second place showed. And it did. He was 20% owned and missed the cut. I'm out on him again. I think he's too volatile given his makeup this year, which is different than last year's. This year, he's too volatile, has a lot of missed cuts. Going more for the, I'm either going to miss the cut or I'm going to come in the top 15. Well, for me, I think I can find that in a couple of other guys that are cheaper than having to pay 8.2 in Doc Redman this week.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm pretty indifferent. If he's low owned, sure. I could live with minimal Doc Redman, though, just because, as you mentioned, there's a lot of guys in this field that I know can explode and go really low. They're not all 8,200, though.
No, they're definitely not. A couple of other guys. Was that Dougie Gim? Somebody said he's from Illinois. Is that right? I know we went to UT. I don't know. Why is there such a why is there such a Texas connection here?
Your guess is as good as mine.
I saw a tweet about that earlier, but
yeah, who knows
what the heck that all means. Of course, I do love a good narrative player once in a while. Don't get me wrong. Sebastian Munoz, guy that can score, kind of thrown in here at 8,100. I really don't understand the pricing here, Ben. Could you try and explain it to me?
Not really. I don't really have a ton to say. This is a guy that, you know, he had a run, a really impressive run, and now he's kind of regressed. It seems that the struggles are real with the putter and ball striking's not doing much. Sebastian Munoz is a fine player and in a field like this, but I'm not going to be alone in this. Give me Kyle Stanley amongst others for cheaper.
Yeah, I think ownership maybe plays into it a little bit. Munoz last week did pop up on the leaderboard, but it's not going to show given the fact that he shot 4 over 76 on Sunday. That's going to move him in a scoring event. If you shoot over par, you're going to go from wherever you are on the leaderboard to the end of it for sure. So I'm a little bit more intrigued maybe than I think you are here with Munoz. But that's only because I'm looking at the Bills this week. Given the fact that Daniel Berger is our highest priced golfer, I like the balance build so much more. So I'm ending up with more of these guys in this range, 2, 3, maybe even 4 in my lineup. So that's kind of why Munoz's name popped a couple of times. You mentioned Kyle Stanley. I'll throw in Johnny Vegas. Both of them playing very consistent, not a ton of upside. I know we had a top 10 from Vegas not too long ago. But what do you make of these guys that have seen a lot of cuts in a row, score pretty well, but don't have a top 20 upside?
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Where do you like to play them? Are you going to be playing them in the $15 GPP on DK or say more of the single entry $200?
I think it's more the latter. They're certainly viable in tournaments, particularly if you leverage elsewhere, but they're just to me, long-term good golfers, solid prices, and that there's a lot of room. When I click in Kyle Stanley, I definitely believe he's got some top 10 equity. He can play well, but I'm also prepared for a 26th, the 31st, things like that. And it's going to be neutral outcomes. They set the stage for your other 5 golfers. You need some of that. Not every golfer in your lineup has to be that make or break guy. And sub 8K in this field for that guy, for Stanley, it's good enough for me.
For sure. A chat seemed to like the Munoz talk a little bit or dislike it, if you will.
Okay.
A couple of those there. They brought up Vegas's around the green game from Ryan there, and he's, Vegas has been absolutely smashing his driver. I mean, every par 4 that's like 340 yards that's drivable, you can expect to see Vegas up on or around the green. I mean, every time I've looked, the guy has been getting it done. So I think I would Munoz, Vegas, definitely an interesting stack there. Charles Howell is kind of thrown in here. I think I'd rather play another guy with an H starting his last name, Bo Hostler. But the price is getting hefty. You got to get him through the cut. And now he's done 3 straight top 25s. Enough for you to buy in at 7,900 this week.
Definitely in the conversation. I still worry a little about what we're seeing. I mean, maybe it's clicking and it's going to continue to click for Hostler. It's just 3 straight positive off the tee. Irons have been less shaky. And he's pairing it with good putting. I mean, that's the formula for him. He's got to keep it going. I think Pat Perez is also interesting. He finally got it right with the putter, exploded at Rocket Mortgage there, but I still think his game is suited. He's scoring really well, and the price is more than reasonable at 77.
Yeah, Pat Perez is a guy that you have definitely clued me in on these last few weeks. Really nice play last week. I think it continues here. For Hostler, I think that you and I have spoken a lot about Hostler in his iron game when we chatted about him. I shouldn't say we've talked a lot about it because we haven't talked that much about Hostler, but when we have, we've talked about his iron game, and although it seemed to turn a corner, and it definitely has, he's one of those guys that if it goes sour, there's no saving it. He lost 3 strokes on his approaches on Saturday alone. Now, he made enough in the other two or three days, whatever it was, to break even for the week. But do you think that that's something to look out for with a guy, you know, that definitely struggles in that department from time to time?
I definitely think that, you know, with a lot of these guys, you know, it's in there, and that's why, like, first round leaders, showdowns, things like that, to me, are more Bo Hostler centric, because he has that in him. Like, he can explode, but when it's bad, does he take himself out of the tournament per se? There's some worries, but again, when you're sub 8K in this field, you're going to have to stomach some ugly scenarios and some red flags. Pat Perez has got his own issues. I think I lean Perez over Hostler. Then Steve Stricker is there. That's one that I'm not even going to pretend to have a feel with. I struggle with guys who don't play on the tour. And I mean, what's there to say? He's in play. I don't know how much Stricker I really want.
Yeah, here's the thing. And maybe he did this 2 years ago and it's just being brought up now, but he's skipping the senior PGA championship this week, or one of their majors where he's the defending champion of, to come play in this event. And now, if you think that your game is at the top level and you've got a chance to play for $200,000 to first versus $1.3 million to first, you're likely going to choose the $1.3 million to first one, right? And that's, I think, what we're seeing here with Stricker. Obviously, he feels his game is in great shape. I think he just won a couple of weeks ago on the Champions Tour by 3-6. I don't know the exact number, but I know it was above three. Yeah, 7,700. The guy hasn't missed a cut here, even when he's, you know, teed it up. I think he's fine. Hate to use that word because it's not, you know, it's almost like a hold in the stock market, right? You know, it's not a buy, it's not a sell. That basically means he's not getting in my main lineup. He'll find his way into some GPP lineups. I guess if I go more cash heavy, maybe I'd think about him in a cash game setting if we're going down that route. But I think I'd rather dip down and maybe even play Mito Pereira. I don't know. This is a guy we know nothing about, struggled in his first start on the PGA Tour. But with three wins, getting the Battlefield promotion, Ben, you have to be at least a little interested, right?
I was a little interested last week. And, you know, it's tough. I tend to err on the side of caution with most of these guys. Yeah. He's in that book. I'd rather play Chez and hold on. That was a disappointing miscut. But I still think the peripherals for Chez are fine. The approach game is good. Needs to flip the putter. 7,500 off a miscut. That's a nice situation.
Yeah, let's talk about Chez. I know that you were a little high on him last week. I think the big time difference here between TPC Deer Run and Detroit Golf Club is you can gain a lot of strokes off the tee at the Rocket Mortgage. I mean, we saw Bryson DeChambeau basically win the tournament 2 years ago doing it. Cam Davis a little bit there. So I think driver is a much more important club in the bag there than it is here when we see Zach Johnson, Steve Stricker do so well. Well, Chez Reavie is that exact makeup. He is a Steve Stricker. He is a Zach Johnson type of player that just match the feel with the putting or get hot with the putter, and he'll be right there. So I'm definitely back into Chez Reavie this week as well. A couple of other guys in this range that I like. Dylan Fratelli, he's one of my top five sleepers this week because I saw some good signs there at the Rocket Mortgage. Now, I know he didn't make the cut. I know it's been a string of really just poor, poor golf. But he lost over four strokes putting on Friday, Ben. Just Friday alone. I'm not even talking about Thursday as well. Just Friday, he lost over four strokes. And then on round one, he actually gained two strokes. So obviously he's a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde going on with his putter. Ball striking looks okay, not great.
Yeah, I mean, Fratelli's always a guy that, you know, at low ownership, I hate to say this, but you can honestly always play him because he can turn it really quickly. Yep. The key is I think you're going to have to endure long stretches of bad, bad play and discarding lineups. And that's why I only would recommend when he's very low owned, because his risk tolerance is extreme. The game is not in great form. He's not going anywhere near like my main or single entry type lineups, but in a large field tournament, Fratelli's the type of guy, you know, you could get 20, 25 birdies out of him randomly.
You certainly can. Kramer Hickok, nice little start last week. Tee for 58. One would not usually have me explaining that as a nice start. But given the fact that he came off of what we'd say a career performance would be, it was good to see him maintain a little bit of form. We know that he relies on his putter. He's talked about that. So a decent spot to buy back, Ben, or should we cool the jets and maybe find him later down the road somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough spot. Rocket Mortgage coming off what is as close as you can get without winning. I still think I'm more on the let's just see how he responds. And if Kramer Hickok has another big week immediately, good for him. I think Perez, even Hostler, Richie Wierenski was brought up by Chad. He's certainly playable. Chez, there's just a lot of names before I would click Kramer Hickok.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good call there. I think that, like you said, there's a lot of names in this range, which is, again, another reason why I kind of like that balance build. We're all above 7,600 here. I think you can make a lot of quality lines doing that. Not to say that there aren't golfers I'd like to play down here, with one of them being Tom Lewis, who seems to do pretty well in these scoring events, the same as some of these other guys we've talked about. So Tom Lewis, is he doing enough to play him at 7,500 for you this week?
He was a tough one. I looked at him in the outright market and I did not get there. I just don't know why he can't flip the irons. He has lost strokes on the approach in 7 of 8 events. He's gained off the tee in every single one. That's the missing thing. And he showed a little signs of life at Rocket Mortgage, but I'm still waiting for those approach numbers. I wish he was a little cheaper or honestly a little more expensive, so his ownership would be non-existent. I think Chez is going to win out there. And then like Scott Stallings, Keith Mitchell types will take the rest.
Yeah. I had Mitchell written down here as one of my next guys to chat about. 7th place finish here a couple of years ago in 2018. Of course, last year's was canceled. So 2019, last time this played, Mitchell didn't play. 2018 he did though, came in the top 10. Has come in the top 10 twice over the last 11 weeks. One of the only golfers in the field to do so, but maybe more recently, Ben, the form hasn't been as good. Are you attributing the missed cut at Cromwell as a course-related thing? Or do you think that was a dip in form and now we're going to have to go through a spot of regression until we get a top 10 again?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely concerning. He lost across the board, and that's 3 straight missed cuts. He's another guy, though, you know, I think maybe a little time off, get going, score better. I mean, these easy courses, I more think of Keith Mitchell than not. But at the same time, I could live without him. These are guys that my goal is to get as many as I can without allocating serious ownership to them. If you have to get 15, 20%, I mean, no way. Scott Piercy, Chad just asked about him. I probably will try to hang on, but not at major ownership because he's just so volatile. I don't know what he was doing last week. Really disappointing.
Yeah, that, I'm not going to lie. I agree. That was totally disappointing. What happened?
No, when I was scrolling, everyone is like 4 under. He's like 6 over. I don't know what course he was playing.
Now, let me ask you a question. Does our buddy Spaz, who we see in the chat here, do you send him our pre-notes? Just wondering, because Patrick Rogers is the next guy that's listed there. What's his connection to – I know he's from Avon, Indiana. That's what at least Wiki told me before I came in. But I've heard a couple of people mention – was this the event that he should have won that he coughed away? Was that why he's got good connections here?
So 2017, Patrick Rogers and Bryson dueled it out. Went really low on Sunday to beat him. Okay. I get it. Like I said, I think that'll probably be slightly overblown. He's making some cuts. And again, off the tee is good. Got to clean up that putting. Norlander, Piercy. These are the names that I've looked to in this lower sevens range.
Yeah, I like Pat Rogers a lot, actually. I forgot about that 2017 matchup with Bryson. But last week, all 4 rounds gained on both the approach and the off the tee, which led to a pretty solid week there overall. Like you said, the short game is a little bit of a struggle, but we've seen Patrick Rogers go through stretches where he's a very hot putter. So maybe that ball striking can finally cash in this week. I think he's a really good value price down here. Keith Mitchell, if I had to go between those two and I was only taking one, I probably would lean Patrick Rogers here this week. I'd take the consistency over the upside. Anybody else you'd rather play over Rogers? Would you rather play Mark Hubbard or even maybe JT Poston? I know Chez Reavie's the same price as Poston, so it's kind of a moot question, if you will.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go to those guys. Norlander's pretty close. His ball striking is pretty good right now. I think he can make this cut. And then, you know, again, more flyers. CT Pan is someone I looked at pretty closely, but I'm not going to isolate someone like that on a lineup because there's just so much risk. I think this is, depending on your lineup construction, what you want to do is hone in on your guys up top and in that mid-range. And then say you need two or three of these guys in every lineup, just mix and match. And some of them are going to get cut. Others will get through. And if you do that right, you'll have enough permutations to really give you some outs.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, starting with, say, my guy of Russell Henley, who I brought up to you saying, I think that's the guy I want to click first. You go Rogers Reavy and you're still at a really nice balance. You've got about $8,400 per person left. You can throw in the Zach Johnson, Hank Lebiota train in there pretty easily and still get somebody above 8,000. So it is, I like that build using two or three of those guys in that mid range. If I don't want to play Berger, which most of the time I haven't wanted to click his name yet. So definitely an interesting strategy there. Now, as we get in to a couple, I'll call them this week, the low-owned Bucks, if you will. It is the John Deere Classic after all. And don't worry, I've got a couple of more guys that may be above 7K that we'll mention here. But also, before we move on to that, I want to mention the little tennis promo that we got going on. And Ben, I'll be honest, I've actually tuned into the Wimbledon two straight days. And for me, it's like the first time in a couple of years. I'm enjoying watching it. Novak Djokovic is just dominating yet again. And the nice thing is that they do daily contests for this. It's kind of like a showdown golf feel, if you will. And get our tennis projections, get it for just $1 for the next month there throughout the Wimbledon. So check that out, of course, just $1 for the Osmo Plus tennis projections coming up. So a lot of fun. Wimbledon's a lot of fun. I'm sad to see that Raducanu girl, though, had to withdraw her cramps
yesterday.
Yeah. She got hurt. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Who knows? You know, young girl, hopefully we see here more of her. She was a lot of fun to watch those couple of days. Anyways, moving on to our Rocket low-owned Bucks. Not Rocket, excuse me. The low-owned Bucks for the John Deere Classic. I've got myself all confused now. Uh-oh. Jeez, these two tournaments, they're basically the same thing. First name that I clicked was Vincent Whaley, a guy that was like Uber chalk 3 or 4 weeks ago at this similar price. I know the form has cooled off, but these events, we typically see guys that have played well this year come up and show up again. So Vincent Whaley, 6,800, thought it was a pretty easy one.
Yeah, I mean, when you get down here, you're really looking for anything. And This Whaley guy, he had his run. It's cooled off a bit. He needs to get the irons back. He's lost in three straight. One of them was at Palmetto. I don't know what happened. He really didn't have it. Yeah. I think you can look there. I tell you, I wanted to RCB at sub 7 in this field, I wanted to play so badly, but his form is just atrocious. I really couldn't get there, even though there's not many options sub 7.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I would assume that Bello would rather play over in Scotland.
I would think so.
But he's obviously qualified for the Open. So, yeah, this one's a little intriguing to me. We've got a couple of these guys, though, and I don't know if Erik van Rooyen's still out because of COVID. He's still listed as out on DraftKings. I don't know that I've seen the official he has withdrawn tweet from Rob Bolton yet, but those guys, Cabrera Bello.
Yeah, I think he's out, just for the record. Yeah.
Cabrera Bello, van Rooyen, these guys need FedEx Cup points really bad. They're outside of the top 125, which means they won't get many starts next year at all. So I guess it makes sense a little bit why Cabrera Bello is here. Interesting name. Like the call. Not going to lie. I'll probably click him. He at least has popped on the board a little bit, similar to a guy like Bryce Garnett. But we see what happens when that par went cold last week, right? Ben missed the cut pretty easily after his best finish of the year.
Yeah. I mean, when you're gaining like 13 strokes putting, that'll mask a lot. I'd rather look to like Adam Shank is playing pretty good. I mean, Benihana, he's somehow making a couple cuts, but not Satoshi putting the lights out. There's some names here. Again, I don't think you don't need to get super crazy, but you also have to ask yourself, what exactly are you doing up top that warrants going into the sixes? I think you can do it at times, but you want to be careful.
Yeah. Brendan Hagee is another name that played well for a round or two last week. Ben, a guy that the status thing is kind of the weird question here, right? Like, is he in that Seamus Power bucket? I know that he's pretty close to it because he's had to get into some fields as alternates. So these starts matter for him. Is this a course you want to employ? I would think that maybe it is. And at 7,200 coming off a T6, maybe Hagee's actually a pretty good play this week.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously shown, you know, I always picture him as just like this, like Cam Champ in a lot of ways, but he's not. You know, he's able to control, I think, his mashing off the tee a little better. And his game is much more well-rounded, as you see at the Rocket Mortgage he gained across the board. So I like it. I do wish he was a little cheaper, but again, you're just not going to get that luxury in a field that's got about, 60 names that rarely, if ever, do much on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. Andrew Putnam and Ryan Armour are not two of those guys. They both won the last couple of years. Guys that I like to play, for Ryan Armour, maybe personal reasons, just a nice guy. And for Andrew Putnam, I think maybe I bet him to win. What was it? The Barracuda that he won 2 years ago or something like that. And so maybe that is why I like him. But should I like either of them this week?
I mean, I think they still fit that mold of like, they're going to lean on their putters. Obviously, you don't need to be aggressive here. Like the Zach Johnson formulas, these type of players, there's, again, I come down here and I just look. I don't know exactly what the difference is between like the mid sixes and the mid sevens in a lot of ways. Some of these parts feel interchangeable.
Is Tom Lewis and Kevin Tway the same golfer?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin Tway looked okay at times. I mean,
he really did though.
Yeah. It was mostly with the putter and that concerns me, but
yeah,
I mean, Kevin Tway is a former winner on the PGA Tour. Like,
let me maybe send you a contrary thought to Kevin Tway that his putter has woken up. It's now three straight events, I think, maybe even four now, where he's gained strokes putting. This is a guy that literally could not putt to save his life the last couple of years, and the only cuts he made were because of his ball striking. So maybe the putter turning, Ben, maybe that's going to really signal some good form. And it's not just 1 week. He's been four straight weeks with a good putter, so – yeah, I was really intrigued at Kevin Tway this week. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it comes back to what you said at towards the beginning of the show. You know, if your putter is cooperating, it gives less pressure on the rest of your game because you know that you can kind of bail yourself out with making those 12 foot for par or getting up and down. I don't mind doing that again, though. I think unless you're really being aggressive, going into the lower sixes is unnecessary in a lot of places, but like JJ Spawn to me is worth considering. He's playing okay as well. There are names that warrant consideration.
Yeah, how about the JJ Spawn call from our buddy Max over here on our team? He puts out a fun little tweet like yours. This is low on plays, and JJ Spawn was one of them this week. So yeah. Was the run good out of Spawn done last week, even though it was only a T32, or should we get one more week of good JJ Spawn play here?
Yeah, I think that's very possible. You know, a guy that he can rack up the birdies. I've always thought, not everyone pans out. You know, the Cam Davises of the world, I thought he could win. I thought JJ Spawn could win on tour, and I still think that's possible. It seems like one way or another, he gets hurt and then the form goes. I still believe that JJ Spawn's a better golfer than he's shown, though.
5.5 strokes on the approach gained last week might be a career best for this next golfer. And his name has been thrown out quite a bit around the industry because of that. Now, I don't think it'd be a lot of ownership or anything like that, but definitely a more popular play amongst the industry we're in. It's Michael Gellerman. I know that's a name we probably haven't talked about a lot, but it is the John Deere Classic after all, Ben.
Yeah, that's your who's Spieth's caddy?
Michael Greller.
Okay. So that's not the same person. That's step one for me. These are two different people. I'm like, wait, is this guy like, why is he not
Greller's got his tour card. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's amazing. Striking it well, but I don't know if I'm going to get to Gellerman. I don't see much in terms of finishes. It would take a big step up for him to crack the top 25 or anything like that.
Just take him and Hickok. You got the caddy and the roommate now.
Look at that. Speed. Easy enough. Greller, Gellerman, who knows with these guys? Someone mentioned Streb. I mean, he's putting really well. Joe, I don't think that's the craziest call. I'm not sure I'm going to get there. But if you're really looking for aggressive 1.1% plays, he's someone that at least is doing something well in terms of the putter.
Sure is. Our other buddy, Jeff Feinberg. Not Jeff Feinberg. Sorry, Jeff Ulrich there. He had a nice call with Cam Davis, 66-1 after the first round. Really nice. Jeff is one of the best in-person guys. That's his second time he's nailed that in the last month and a half. And he says he wants to bet Ace Ventura, Christopher Ventura, or Chris Ventura, either one. 300-1 this week. Jeff says bye. Do you want to join Jeff in the Ace Ventura call?
I do love the pet detective, but man, that's a tough one. He's someone that at times showed some form, but it hasn't been lately. And I probably, you know, in theory, I'd love to, but I think when push comes to shove and you have a finite betting card, you can't bet everyone, you can't play everyone. I think Ventura is one that probably will be left off for me.
Yeah, it's close for me, and I'm not going to lie. I did catch you on the Mayo show. I did just bring up Jeff Feinberg. He's a guy of that on the Mayo show as well. So just a lot of Jeffs, but Jeff Ulrich, Jeff Feinberg, both good picks. Thank you for
solid
that.
Guys. Well,
last week. Yeah, both solid. So Ben, moving on, we don't have that many guys left to talk about. Not going to lie. I'll come up with a couple of names just to ask you about, but stay tuned. Of course, we've got plenty more coverage. Of course, we mentioned the NBA finals. Game one is tonight. So we've got, of course, our show about that. That's at 6:30 and then at 4:45 with the MLB deeper dive. If I'm not mistaken, I think I got the right schedule here.
She's
knowing
so.
Me. Knowing me, I probably pulled up like yesterday's and forgot to, you know, press refresh or whatever. Just that's the way my day has been going here preparing for this hurricane. Just got a couple of sandbags. Like I said, it's not gonna be a big deal, but definitely throws me for a loop every now and again.
I bet.
Let's see. Here we go. I got it right in front of me. I got the right one. 4:45 MLB deeper dive. The MLB live before lock, 6:03, then the NBA live before lock. That's at 8:00. That is our schedule for the rest of the day. We've got a couple of minutes left. So Ben, let's give the people a couple of more low owned plays. How about Aaron Baddeley? If we're going to talk about bringing your putter to the event, Baddeley is one of those guys. I'll probably have him in a couple of lineups. Can I convince you to put him in one?
I mean, again, yeah, I totally see it. Alternate field events and things of this nature, Aaron Baddeley has shown up. And I said for a while, and I really believe in this philosophy, I would rather play a guy in the low sixes that does one thing amazing and is terrible everywhere else than someone who's just like pretty bad in all four. And Aaron Baddeley is a world-class short game player. Can't do anything else, but at least you have that going for you. And to me, it's a lot easier to get average, you know, showings in one of the other categories, and then he leans on his extreme skill set, than asking a guy to improve in all four categories in a given week.
For sure. Totally agree. Another guy that kind of fits that mold, but say on the opposite side, really relies on his tee to green game or more his ball striking. Two good finishes here. It's Sam Ryder, 18th and second in his two tries, but he's in a bad spot of form. 6,800 actually seems like it's too much for him this week.
Another guy that I took a close look at, and he had a mini run earlier this year.
Yep.
He was second at Corrales and eighth at Honda. And since then he has missed seven of nine cuts. And the other two were 52nd and 54th. He has zero top 50s in 3 or 4 months. I couldn't do it just because the form is just non-existent.
How about a golfer that has form at this course, maybe better than Ryder? It's Johnson Vagna. Does Johnson Vagna get into any of your lineups this week?
Probably not. He's in the, we just had friends of the show, Mackenzie Kramer, good guy, ask about Chase Seifert. He's another one who's missed 5 or 6 cuts. I don't think I can get to these guys.
I'd rather go to Tway.
Tway. Yep. Josh Teeter is kind of there. Mm-hmm. Jonas Blix is playing better than I thought. Again, probably unnecessary.
Better than I thought, yeah. It's an interesting name, actually.
There's some bad names. And for the real egregious guys that we haven't got to, of course, tomorrow night, back live before lock, we'll be answering their questions. You know, me and Jason, Twitter, Slack, we're always available. Give us a follow because there's a lot of names in this field and some of them could find their way into the weekend.
Oh, Willie Mack. Great to see him. Great to see the story pan out. Have him make the cut last week. Played okay on the weekend. Can he get through again here, or was a lot of effort put into making that cut last week?
I mean, I certainly think that from what I saw, guy's got some talent. There's no doubt about it. And I wouldn't be stunned to see him make the weekend. I just worry that if he makes the weekend, we see him again fall in that 50 to 70 range. And that's tough when you're not grabbing any placement points. So I think it's a little thin, probably won't be in the portfolio.
Yeah, it's going to be close for me. How about a guy, you just brought up Corrales and Sam Ryder, about a guy that his only two stats recorded were from this event, but each time he got into the top 25, he Monday qualified this week. I know it's not a name that I think I've ever heard of, so I'm not going to be upset if you tell me that it's a creative player. It's Alex Smalley. And we don't know much about him at all. Like I said, he Monday qualified. He Monday qualified for both Corrales's, made the cut and came in the top 25. I don't know if I'll have one share, but if I guess I needed to a 6,000 thing, I'd be out.
Yeah. I mean, I thought you were going to say Alex. You see, this is the problem. You could tell me Alex S, and I still don't know who you're talking about, because there's a guy named Alex Schocke in, or Schocke, like the Bundesliga team. But you mean another guy, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are you talking about Andrew Schocke? I don't think he's even in the field.
Yeah. Well, yeah. A good friend of the show. Seriously. We got Schocke at 6,200, and then we've got Smalley
at
6K. Yeah. That's a no for me, dog.
I know who you're talking about. Okay. He's one of those. Okay. I found it now. This tournament gave sponsorship exemptions, five of them, to surrounding golfers that graduated from the Quad Cities. You know, one's from Illinois, one's from Illinois State, one's from Iowa, one's from Iowa State, and Schocke is one of those guys. So for me, I'm out. None of them got above the top 50 in the world amateur rankings. Okay, we have reached our time here, Ben, at the end. Again, for the strategy portion, I am starting my lineups with Russell Henley this week. If you guys want to know more about, say, the second and third guys in, tune in tomorrow night. Ben Raza, Eric Lundquist. They're going to break down if there's any waves, any advantage there, because last week it was a stroke advantage, Ben, between the waves. So you guys will go into all that. So until next time, everybody, we will see you for the Open Championship. Info comes hot and heavy there, so be ready on Sunday to go at it. And then, of course, we've got the Olympics after that. So until next time, everybody, good luck at the John Deere Classic, and we will see you for the Open Championship. Cheers.